Our text this morning is in chapter 11, and I'm looking at not all the passage, because I want to leave the magnificent benediction to look at again, but this will be the final message on the situation of the Jews. The text is verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved." Or if you want it, perhaps in the literal way of putting that, "For so in this manner also shall all Israel be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Now, I mentioned right at the beginning of these chapters that there are different views, and they are sincerely held. And it is not my place or my right to be critical of any other view, neither have I been so, or intended to be so anyway. There are three main lines, and some of them have subsidiaries. There's the post-millennial view, which quite honestly I would love to be able to see, because it's so encouraging. It means that things are getting better all the time. And there is a biblical case for that. You can. There is the premillennial view, that is not such a very old view, but has been very popular from, say, towards the end of the last century, and that is accepted by many and held very sincerely. And there is the amillennial view, which is generally what we call the reform view of the Reformation doctrine. Now then, what I am going to do, I'm not going to start a view all on my own. I'm not going to do that. But I haven't really made a point of looking at each one. I thought what I would do, that I would expound the scripture as I see it there. And I think to understand this chapter, there are two things that we all have got to remember. This epistle is all about justification by faith. Now, that's a great thing. It means that Jesus Christ came into this world in order that we might go to his. But to do so, he had to prepare us for it. All men, whether Jew or Gentile, are sinful by nature. And we are not able to throw away that sin. It's deeply embedded in us, original sin. We inherit it from Adam, from the very loins of Adam. We are born sinful. And the only way that this can be dealt with is from an outside factor. And this is why God, in his mercy, sends his Son. We could never fulfill God's law, so Christ does it for us. We could pay the penalty for our sin, but we would be doing it eternally. So that's no comfort. So on the cross, there is a period where God forsakes him. We cannot separate the Trinity, of course, but in his sweet presence, leaving only his wrath, the same as is in hell. Is God in hell? Well, not in his sweet presence, but in his wrath, yes. So Christ calls out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And the reason is, if you could look at Psalm 22, because the penalty for sin had to be paid in full. You cannot eliminate those things. Any teaching that bypasses those cannot be right. We are justified by faith in that which Jesus Christ has done for us. He pays the penalty for my sin, its principle, its power, past, present, future. Then nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. There is no need for a penalty to be paid twice. It's paid once. Then he gives me, and appropriates to me, by faith, his life. We call that imputed righteousness. And in that position, God looks as we are, as those who have been washed clean and dressed in the life of Christ. Now, that's simple, isn't it? It's profound, but simple. Washed in the blood of Christ and dressed in the life or the beauty of Christ. We get this by repenting of our sin and faith in Jesus Christ. So we are justified in the sight of God. We are right in the sight of God by faith. And this faith is a gift. It's not just saying, I assent, I believe. It's something God gives you. By grace, I say, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, the awakened soul now is able to appropriate these benefits. Now, this applies to both Jew and Gentile, obviously, but it's not going to be any way that we can bypass this. You have to go through the whole epistle with justification by faith in mind. Neither can you understand this epistle or this chapter unless you have election in mind. God's chosen people. I'm not speaking now of Israel, in this, we'll be looking at that in a moment. But we're able to say, you know, that's who comes to him, those who are drawn to him. And there are endless verses that tell you how we are drawn to him. We call it doctrinally irresistible grace. When were our names written in heaven? Was it when we believed? No, before the foundation of the world. Election. So unless we have those two rights, we will not understand this epistle, and we will not understand this chapter either. Nevertheless, there's something rather special as well and extraordinary. So all Israel shall be saved. Now, if you remember, and I go briefly through it, Paul suddenly in chapter 9 breaks forth into an anguish of soul. To the end of chapter 8, he reaches us to the very heights, sublime heights of assurance of salvation. And there is no power in hell or on earth that is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he's in those heights. Now, don't think he's not in those heights still. He is. But there's something else in his heart. Sorrow. A great sorrow. And he expresses it like this in chapter 9. I'll read it to you. He says that he has a heaviness for them. And yet in verses 4 and 5 he said, but they knew so much. You feel like that sometimes, don't you, regarding a person who's gone to chapel or church all his life and yet has no peace with God. Now you know that can be true. Has no peace with God. And yet they have known so much. They have a Bible at home, a Bible in their hands, a Bible in the church, and they sing wonderful hymns. And yet, they're not able to say they know that they're going to heaven. They receive so much. The Jews receive so much. He says here in chapter 9, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. And then he adds quickly, remember, he was more than a Jew, who is over all God blessed forever. Amen. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, the issue here is he going to break his word to his promised people, his chosen people? That's the issue. And this is what Paul is trying to describe. So many of the Jews who are unbelievers and rejected the Messiah, they say, but we are God's chosen people. We are of Abraham. We are his people. So what he wants to explain to them, not all Israel are Israel, and he will not break his promise to the true Israel, the Israelites in his heart. Now, this chapter, now, although it refers to Gentiles, it is primarily, when we talk about Israel here, we are talking about the Jews, and I think that must be regarded as important. And he gave an illustration further on, next chapters. Like in the time of Elijah, Elijah had this idea. He said, and quite right in a way, he said, they've torn down your altars, they've turned away from Jehovah, they've followed Baalim, they've done some dreadful things, and I alone, he said, am faithful. And God said to him, even so at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There are 7,000 of them, it said. Not all the population of Israel. It's true, he said. They're bad. But even then, I have my Israel, the remnants, who have not turned to Baal. And if you want to know who they are, says Paul, they are those who are the election of grace, whose names were written in glory. So he's bringing this clear distinction between Israelites in general, national, Israelites who are national, yes, but loved God and were men and women of grace. Now that's not difficult, and I don't think anybody would disagree with that. In verse 12, he says then, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, how much more their fullness, or the full number of them? So he says, isn't it wonderful, he said, that through their almost rejection of the Messiah, then God sends messengers to the Gentiles through their kind of disobedience and their refusal of the Messiah, came the opportunity for the Gentiles. How much more, if more of them and greater numbers of them, if a few of them believed, look how many Gentiles benefited. How much better it would be if more of them believed, what a profound effect it would have upon the Gentiles. Now what he's saying there. Now then, the mystery of grace. This part now he's addressing to the Gentiles. Although it's a chapter on the Jews, he has to refer to the Gentiles, and it's a very important reference. He wants us, and there may be Jews and converted Jews here present, I do not know, but most of us will be Gentiles, non-Jews. The world really divides into two, doesn't it? Whether you are a Jew in a nationality or whether you are a non-Jew. So that most of us will be non-Jews, whatever country you belong to, apart from maybe one or two, I do not know. But Paul hopes that through the conversion of the Gentiles, or some of them anyway, that it would be an inspiration for some Jews to believe. Remember in chapter 9 he said these words, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, I mean they hadn't got a clue, have attained to righteousness. Well, however did they get it? Even the righteousness which is of faith. These ignorant Gentiles who hadn't any kind of background yet were right with God because they got it by faith in Jesus Christ. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, knew so much, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. They still try to get to heaven by works. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, Jesus. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. So he said, that is such a problem to me, he said. It's such a problem. Here are these Gentiles. I'm sent to preach to them. I'm not saying all of them believe, but many of them believe. I preach to Jews, and hardly any of them believe. And yet look at the background they've got, and the promises they have, and they've got no background. What's missing? Faith. These believed in the Messiah. And some of these did, but not many. And you say, it hurts. Well, naturally it is. Like in our own families. If you have a family that's a Christian family, one son and one daughter, or a few more, or just one, that shows no interest in the grace of God. You say, well, I brought them up well. I taught them to go to prayer meeting and to Sabbath worship. We had family worship. I brought them up well. They knew so much. It hurts because they have gone another way. So you must understand the feeling here of Paul regarding his nationality. He's not being narrow here. He's not saying, as if I was saying only Welsh or only English or whatever. He's not saying, oh, I only worry about Jews. He's not. He said, I love the Gentiles being saved, but it hurts because my own kinsmen are so reluctant. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. He said, I want to say something to you Gentiles. And I want you to listen to it, because I have been appointed the apostle to the Gentiles. And don't mistake me, he said to the Gentiles, I love my job. I love my work. I magnify the office. I don't in any way grumble and say, why didn't you keep me with the Jews, Lord? I don't in any way grumble. I magnify the office. So he's not in any way wanting the Gentiles to feel inferior as Christian Gentiles. For if the casting away of them by the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Oh, he said, if the casting away give room for you in a sense, how much greater effect it would be if many of them believed. In any case, it's like life from the dead. And then he introduces something very interesting. In verse 16, for if the first fruits be holy, the lump is holy. And if the roots be holy, so are the branches. Now you can take either illustration, but the one that is taken up very much is the idea of the roots. Now then, he's taking the church, or Israel, to be like a tree. An olive tree. He said, but this olive tree, there's nothing wrong with its roots. Its roots are in the bedrock of God's eternal splendor and grace and glory. It's a wonderful olive tree. Yet in this olive tree, how did you get into it? Well, there were some branches that had to be cut off. Which branches were these? The Jews had turned away from the things of God. There they are, scattered about. But I see some wild olive trees here. These are the Gentiles. And I find them exercising faith in Jesus Christ. What do I do? I graft them in. I cut. I trim. I tie them with the cords of grace, that they might partake of the roots, that good root, which is in the bedrock of God's grace. You're grafted in from being a wild olive, sour, bitter, that you might be grafted into the lovely olive tree of grace and partake of its benefits. That's what happened to you, Gentiles, he said. What a privilege is yours. How wonderful is that? But then he says, but fear. Don't start getting high-minded about this. And he gives a full warning. Now, the warnings are here. Well, I can read the verses 18, 19, and 20 to you. Here they are. Verse 18. Boast not against the branches, those that are on the floor, the Jews that have rejected. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the roots, but the root thee. Thou would say, the branches have been broken off that I might be grafted in. Don't say like this. Never say this, he says. They were cut off that I might have a place in. Don't boast like that. Don't do that. Well, because of unbelief. Why are they on the floor? Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou, why are you in? Thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Do you see the good argument here? So if you might say, I'm a wild olive tree. I have faith. And I've been grafted into this tree of grace, the olive tree of God's grace. Ah, look at those natural branches that were in the olive tree. And they've fallen off because of unbelief. Poor little things. They're out and we're in. Don't you dare do it, he said. Don't you dare. But you be grateful that I've had mercy on the Gentiles. And through faith that you are grafted in. We are highly privileged that God has ever thought about us. Then he says in verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. And he talks then of the severity and the goodness of God. If a branch shows marks of unbelief, or dependence upon work, it is no branch. And whoever it is, it's cut off. But the goodness of God, if we remain in our faith, there is our security. In verse 23, and belief is the barrier. But if that changes, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. And you say, now look at those branches on the floor. These are the unbelieving churches. And if some of those suddenly see the error of their ways and exercise faith in Jesus Christ, how easy it is to graft them in like coming home. So never boast or in any way belittle them. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of the mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Fullness is the full number. Now then, that's to the Gentiles. And that's a lovely picture. The picture is of a tree. The tree is a tree of grace. It's regarded as an olive tree. And all through the centuries, like in the time of Elijah, how big were the branches then? Well, 7,000 men and their wives and children, I suppose, there would be. But how many were scattered on the floor, were no longer Israel in the real sense? He's always faithful to the Israel of the election of grace. He says, I've never broken my word to them. I've never broken my word to them. And then he shows then how we are grafted in. But we cannot come in by works either. It is by justification, by faith, we are grafted into this wonderful tree of grace. Now the miracle of grace. Verse 26, now we come to this important verse. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, there are some theories here, but let's look at it. It should be fuller translated. So in this manner shall all Israel be saved. There is a consistency now. He's been talking of justification by faith, grafting in because of faith. So in this manner, there's not going to be another gospel. There's not going to be a bypass of the gospel. Rejection is rejection. Acceptance is acceptance still. So that remains the same. Now, what does all Israel mean? Well, certainly it will mean this. You go back into the Old Testament and you see in Hebrews 11, there's a selection made, not of the totality, of course, but representative. That many, many of Israel were not Israel. But some always were. There were always some. They were the remnants. And remember in Hebrews 11, it says, they without us shall not be made perfect. That's in the sense that we kind of waiting for one another in a way. There they are, the remnants in each generation, many departing, many going to Baal worship, but some remaining. And Elijah is a supreme example when he's told, you think there's no one? I've still 7,000. Well, that is a very small figure as compared to how many Jews there were. But there was a remnant in every generation. Israel would include them. Now then, all Israel is this, the elect. All Gentiles saved are the elect Gentiles. So God is obliged, you might say, if we put it reverently, to Israel. But not the Israel that rejects, but the remnants, the election of grace. We have to understand that. Nevertheless, after having said that, the whole chapter points in a certain direction, that a time will come in these latter days, a time will come when all Israel will be, let us take now, that let us just say imaginary figures, that in each age, say 5%, 10%, 20%, sometimes 50%, whatever, were the Israel of God. They're included. But I think we all accept the fact that since there's such a burden here, that there will come a time, increasingly, when there will be a high proportion of Jews saved. They will have to come by faith. They'll have to come through the gospel. But we will know that when large multitudes of Jews will suddenly recognize this is the Messiah, and a greater proportion and a greater number, who knows what? It may be 100%, but I mean, that doesn't seem to go in a logical reason, but it might be 50, 60, 70, whatever. But many, we will know that the end is near. So there is that mercy, that although it is a remnant, it will still be a remnant, but a very big remnant in that time. And I think that's very exciting and very wonderful. Then he says how they come. He refers to then in the same chapter is Isaiah 59 verse 20 and another quotation as well. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Then verse 27 from Jeremiah. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Now if that was a reference to the second coming, then there would not be an ingathering. Because once the second coming comes, then there is no opportunity then still to say, oh, I think I will believe now because the second coming is on the way. And I can see it's right. No, it cannot mean that. What it does mean is this. For out of them came Jesus Christ of the flesh. From them. And then Jeremiah and Isaiah point into the future. That out of Zion, they said, a deliverer will come. And what will this deliverer do? This is what he will do. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Justification by faith. Exactly the same again. Because through the ages, some Jews were justified by faith in God. Then in the time of Jesus Christ, many reject, some believe. That's the history of all these centuries. And then we come to a time, maybe, when the second coming is coming towards us, and us towards the second coming. That before the second coming, this great deliverer that came out of Zion suddenly will become a reality to a large number of Jews. That's a wonderful thing. So he's referring then to what they already have. For out of Zion came the deliverer, the incarnation. The suffering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His obedience to the law in our place, both in its fulfillment and its penalty. And when a Jew sees that he's saved by faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he realizes then, this is a promised Messiah. This is the deliverer that came out of Zion. And through faith, you read Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's our position. In that exercising of faith, there is a removal of sin. The main ingredient of justification by faith is the removal of sin. The greatest relief in justification by faith that I no longer carry my own sin. Now lastly, the mercy of God. It leads then to its climax. Verse 28. For as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. It goes back then to the theme. He says, all through the ages, many of them, not all, many of them have been enemies of the gospel. But in a sense, you could say it was for your sake, so be grateful. this enmity brought about your salvation. But verse 28, but as such in election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Yes, in every generation, and before the time of Christ, those who are of elect, they are your brothers and sisters, who are called according to the election of grace. What he's saying is, his covenant stands for the Jews. That's a great comfort. Before Christ, those who exercise faith in God see Christ from afar. Like Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. They are the remnant. They are the Israel of God. Not all Israel are Israel, but they are. And after Christ, they have to come the same way as we have to come, through repentance and faith. And the great covenant that God makes with us through Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven, and we have peace with God, and we have a place in glory. That's the picture. And then in verse 29 he says, if anybody argues about this, God, you have withdrawn, you have broken your word. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If somebody should say, ah, look, God, look how we were favored and how you rescued us. Yes, he said, I did. Is it now that you have turned away from us and turned to the Gentiles, and this is not fair? And he says, no, it's not like that. I never changed my mind. My calling and my gifts are without repentance, without changing of mind. The election of grace remains to the Israel of God, to the Israel of faith in the old and through Christ in the new. And in this year, a powerful suggestion that there will be many, many in the last generation that shall come. No, he says, my calling remains the same. Until what? A number. I know the number. There comes a time when the number of Gentile believers is completed. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. There's our picture. He concludes with this full number. That's what all means. Full number. The full number of Gentiles. There'll come a time where every non-Jew that comes to Christ, when God will say, that's the number of my election by grace. All those names were there before the foundation of the world. There'll come a time when I say, many during the centuries of the history of my chosen people, many of them, their names were written there in the book of life. And we're saying here, towards the end, a greater number of them will come until the number of the elect of Jews is made up who believe in Christ. Then we have the totality, the number of the Gentile Christians and the number of the Jewish Christians. And where are they? In this olive tree. Now here we're talking of Israel. And in a very special, wonderful way, the believing Jew in the Old Testament is the Israel of God. And the believing Jew now is still the Israel of God. But now, you see, look at what has been said here, and who can deny it? It's one tree. One olive tree. And we little wild olive trees, when we heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me, by the grace of God, exercise faith. It cuts us to the quick. It cuts him, and we're grafted in. Where are we? We are in his tree. We join the believing Jews of the old, and the believing Jews through the centuries, and the greater abundance towards the end. Look at these branches, Jews and Gentiles, in Christ, in the same olive tree, drawing its nourishment from the same divine roots, from the bedrock of God's grace. And then we are able to say then, Even though this lovely, lovely special attention to the Jews is given in chapter 11. And a wonderful indication also of a greater proportion towards the end of time. Yet we are able to say, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, do you believe that? Do you think he's going to say, ah, here's a Christian Jew, you go there. Or here's a Gentile Jew, you go there. Oh no. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And in some strange, strange way, whether English, Welsh, or whatever, we become the Israel of God. That's the mystery. We become the Israel of God. But you can understand the aching of this man and the promise that is made. Ah, yes, there will be better days and Christ will be glorified. And they'll be picked up, many of them, and grafted so easily into the olive tree, joining us too, who have been grafted in into the olive tree of God's grace. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy grace and thy mercy to us. And it's all of mercy, all of grace. And we pray that we have one great common ground in this. A sinner has to be a forgiven sinner, whoever he is, and justified by faith in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and elect according to the election of grace, and these things are never moved. O Lord, for us here this morning to search our hearts, that we are no longer a wild olive lying somewhere far from thee, but have been picked up in thy mercy and grafted into thine olive tree. Hear us for thy name's sake. Amen.